I think we need to move on. Gentlemen, I think we need to move on. So if you want to continue it, in order to keep roughly the schedule, we need to move on, unfortunately. So, you take it from there.
Okay. Oh, it's a small size quad. All right. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to this session. I'm assuming that's a little bit different session than the rest. So let me start, and then we'll see. You know, I sent a different slide, but that's fine. Don't worry about it. So my name is Sam Andoni. I'm the founder and president of a technology company called Ziva Incorporated. So before Ziva, I also was part of Microsoft Consulting Services. So I was part of Microsoft. 10 years ago, I left Microsoft and helped found Ziva. And I'm just going to go back here so you don't get confused with the other one. So 10 years ago, I left Microsoft and helped form Ziva as an identity management and PKI consulting firm. So as we are working in this space, we saw a lack of focus on data decryption in specific. So what I did after that is we made a shift in focus. So 5 years ago, we have been focusing exclusively on how to handle encrypted data and how to provide it for several reasons, mainly for litigation or legal proceeding and stuff like that. In 2013, we released a product called Decryptonabox, which actually allow us to do an email decryption without access to the private key. And recently, we released a product called Mobile Decrypt that allow us to extend drive credential to the mobile device. So before I go to mobility in specific, as I mentioned before, data encryption on the rise. Regardless what's going on, there is a lot of issues in the world today that require increased security, require increased privacy and protection. So data encryption in the rise. And email encryption, while in the industry, it has limited adaptation. In the government, there is a wider adaptation for the email encryption in specific. And the problem with encryption is not just it's complex. The problem with encryption is when you encrypt data, at some point you need to decrypt it. And it doesn't always need you to decrypt it. Sometimes a third party requires the encryption. So for example, for a FOIA request by the government, if the data is encrypted, an investigator needs to decrypt it in order to provide the FOIA report. The same correct in case of e-discovery, the same correct in case of legal proceeding. Someone as a third party within the organization or the government need to decrypt the data in order to provide that information to the judge, to the FOIA requester, or whatever. So that's in general when we speak about encryption. Now, what happened in the industry recently is people start using smart card to do encryption. And while still not that much in the industry, in the government, that BIV card is now the standard for authentication, as well as it's the standard to do encryption, so people will encrypt with the certificate that live in their smart card. Now, so that will be good for a desktop, because the desktop has typically a smart card reader, so you can plug in your smart card in your smart card reader, and you will be able to use it to encrypt. Now, when you want to read encrypted message, you do the same, you will be able to use the private key on your smart card to read the encrypted email that somebody sent you or the encrypted data that was encrypted with the certificate on your smart card. So while that's correct for a laptop or for a desktop, that is not correct for a mobile device, because those mobile devices having a smart card reader attached to them is not the same option. Yes, there is smart card readers for mobile devices, but those are expensive, bulky, and inconvenient at least. So that's where where we are trying to get, I'm trying to describe the problem. So currently in the government or on any organization that does encryption, typically they use a soft key. They don't use the keys on the smart card. And because they are using a soft key, they have the option to recover that soft key and copy it to their smartphone, and thus they will be able to use it to decrypt encrypted data. Now, the problem, especially with the government recently, is they start using smart card to do that. So now it no longer a soft key, it's now a hard key. And by policy, those keys are protected by a medium hardware protection policy, which prevent them by policy to be recovered on a mobile device unless there is a TBM on the mobile device. So this is the problem that we have been looking at it in the past. So I'm gonna link that to the drive credential, and I'm hoping here probably everybody knows what drive credential is. Is that anyone need more clarification on drive credential? Just to make sure, so NIST a year ago released special publication 800-157, which describe how you can get a set of certificate that's based on your smart card credential. So inside that smart card, there is four certificates, three of which belong to you and one of which belong to the card itself. From those three, one is for authentication, one for digital signature, and one for encryption. So you have a set of three certificates on this BIV card. And what NIST provide is provide a way for companies to drive another set of credential, another set of free certificate with keys that can go to your mobile device that has been derived from your smart card credential. So the word drive does not mean it's direct. The word drive means you first need to authenticate using your BIV card. After you authenticate, you're using your BIV card. Then there will issue to you a new set of credential after you validate your identity, and those set of credential will go to your mobile device. So that's what NIST publication is. Now, the problem with that is if they encrypt, if I send John an encrypted email and encrypted with the certificate that live in his smart card, the only way for John to read his encrypted message is to find a way to get access to that private key. And again, if we are using a soft key, that is possible by exporting the key here, but if we are using a smart card hard key, then by policy, that's even not allowed. So the concept of recovering the key typically is not correct by policy. The other option, if you try to read your encrypted message with your drive credential, it will be an impossible task for you because that message has been encrypted with a different set of keys. So this is the problem that a lot of companies and organization and government agencies that use encryption is facing with. So in the past year, we have been looking at what kind of a solution we can provide that allows someone to read their encrypted emails from their phone without having an attached smart card to their phone. So, and as we are looking for that, we want a solution that can integrate with any mobile device management solution. It doesn't matter. I don't want to develop something for BlackBerry different than something for good technology, something for something else. So we need to have a solution that it does not depend on a specific mobile device management, as well as you want to develop something that can work with any operating system. It need to work on Android, need to work on iOS, it need to work on Windows Phone. And the problem is you need to do it in a way that doesn't put anything on the device, because especially in the government, if I want to approve an application on this device, it typically take 6 to 8 months. By then, there will be a new operating system in the market. So we need to have a solution that does not depend on anything there. So what we came up with is we came up with a solution, we call it Mobile Decrypt, that allow us to do a header modification on the encrypted message before it reached the mobile device. So I'm gonna describe what I mean by header modification here. But before I describe what I mean by header modification, I have here a slide that describes encryption. I know everybody in this room probably extremely familiar with encryption, but I have to describe a little bit here to make sure I stage everything for the next conversation. So if I'm gonna send Dixie an encrypted message, in cryptography, I generate a session key, I encrypt the message with the session key, and then I encrypt the session key with my certificate and with Dixie certificate. What that means, I really don't need to have access to Dixie private key or my private key to decrypt the message. All what I need is access to the session key in unencrypted format. And if I have the capability to get the session key in unencrypted format, I can decrypt without the need for a private key. So we took that concept and play with it more. I said, okay, in this case, if I can adjust the header of the message and inject another line in the message that add the drive credential certificate and encrypt the session key with the drive credential certificate, then people will be able to read that message on their mobile device. And that's exactly what we try to do. So eventually, this is an example. So I am sending Dixie an encrypted message. The original header here show exactly how the original header looks. So the message is the message, and in the metadata in the header, there will be two lines, a session key encrypted with my certificate on my BIV card or smart card, and another line for Dixie, so the session key encrypted with Dixie BIV certificate. So that's how the original header will look like. So after it passed through Mobile Decrypt, and I will describe to you in a moment where Mobile Decrypt fit, after it passed through the Mobile Decrypt, what we do is we inject a third line in the header, which is we encrypt that session key with Dixie drive certificate and we append it to the header and we send it. So where is Mobile Decrypt in this picture fit? Mobile Decrypt fit between your MDM and your exchange. So what you do is you go to your MDM server and you configure the Mobile Decrypt server as your proxy. And what happened is when your mobile device tried to communicate with Exchange to retrieve the message, we, because we are configured as a proxy, the traffic passed through us. And what the traffic passed through us, we have a mapping table. This is your BIF certificate, and this is your drive certificate. And what we do is we will decrypt the session key, and then, and I will describe in a moment how we decrypt the session key. But after we decrypt the session key, we then encrypted with the extra your drive credential and we append the header and send it. So if you look where it says the original header and the header on top, the header on top has an extra line called the recipient drive credential public key. So that's where the session key is encrypted with Dixie drive credential and attach and send. So now, how is that? So the only concept that left here, or the only piece of the puzzle that I didn't describe, is how we decrypt the session key. And the way we decrypt the session key is we use our decrypt-in-a-box technology. And what's our decrypt-in-a-box technology? Remember when I spoke about how encryption happening, and I mentioned clearly that if I can decrypt the session key, then I will be able to decrypt whatever I want. So we created something called Session Key Decryption Services. And Session Key Decryption Services is, we call it Key Decrypt, and the Key Decrypt is a server that has multiple components. And one of the components is the capability to retrieve keys from certificate authorities. So it has the capability to be configured to go and fetch keys as needed from the certificate authority. So if the key decrypt need to decrypt a session key and it doesn't have a private key to use, it automatically go to a certificate authority and fetch the private key and put it inside its key vault. So we have an HSM key vault attached to it where we store all those private key in it. Alternatively, there is a utility we provide instead of making that automatic to make that as needed. So you control which private key you want to push. But eventually, the Decrypt-in-a-Box key decrypt server include an HSM key vault that has a copy of every private key of every employee on the organization, because we are doing that within the organization. And as people sending or receiving encrypted messages, we will be able to decrypt that session key, because simply I can use either the sender or the receiver. So if I can decrypt the session key using that way, then what Mobile Decrypt will do, Mobile Decrypt will use that functionality to decrypt the session key. And after decrypting the session key, it then encrypted again with the drive credential of the intended recipient, attach it to the header, and send it its way. So that is the technology that I will speak about. So we have a demo for you, but because before we go to the demo, I probably should have question and answer, and then I will go to the demo. So if you want to connect, go ahead and connect the demo. So, go ahead. No, it does not, and we have that in our lab tested and verified. The reason behind that, because the digital signature doesn't take place on the header. It only takes place on the content of the message. So we are adjusting the header so the digital signature stay intact. Correct.
And you said you've got the ability
to put that on an HSM. So we currently support two HSM vendors. We currently support Tahalas, SafeNet, as Tahalas and SafeNet. And the way we do that, so we have an HSM when we go and configure our system, and every single key we got, we push it through the HSM. So it's all HSM protected key vault. We use the key escrow concept to pull the keys from the CA and put them inside the HSM, and we attach with them an access control list to prevent them from being recovered. They can be used, but they cannot be recovered, because the concept here is not a key recovery vault. It's a session key decryption that use a key vault in order to decrypt the session key. So we currently support two CAs. We support a Microsoft CA, and when we pull from a Microsoft CA, we use the key recovery concept to recover the keys and put them inside the HSM, and we support Intrust CA. And when we communicate with Intrust CA, part of the configuration that we do is we configure an Intrust profile inside the HSM with the right access control to retrieve key history from Intrust. So Intrust deal with it as a key history, while Microsoft give it to us as a key blob. And it's a little bit different, but those are the CAs that we currently support. In addition to that, though, we have a utility called Key Migration Tool that allow you to communicate with any CA and pull with filter search, and you then push to the key vault, as well as if you have a set of PFX, for example, that you can use those and import them inside our key vault. So we provide several methodology how you can inject the private key in the key vault. Oh, okay. So other question? So on the demo here, what we prepared is something. Because you're not gonna believe me if I'm able to read encrypted message here, but we're gonna show you the key the header modification. So do you want to speak about it? Go ahead.
Hi everyone, my name is Hossam Hilal. I'm the product manager for the Crypto in a Box. So in this demo, we're actually simulating a header modification operation. So I have a couple messages between me and Dixie. And if we go to Dixie's device, and that's what I'm going to show you right now, we will not able to open those messages because she has the derived keys on her device, not the real one that she typically used. Once we do the header modification and we inject the session key encrypted with her derived certificate on the inside each email, she would be able to open that on her machine, as you see here. So right now I'm going to do that so you can see that on the screen. If she just tried to open them, she would not be able to because she does not have the real key on her device. She has a derived one. And you can see here that she has a key, but that's the derived one, not the real one, as you see.
So what he's simulating is a machine and a machine where it has the BevCard certificate and a device that have the drive credential certificates. It's a different certificate. It doesn't matter what we want to call it. And we will show you how we inject these to allow it to read it.
Right, so the virtual machine one here that I'm moving is Dix's machine device. All right, so I have this demo tool. This will just, you know, use our header modification library to show you how we do the header modification. So I'm going to open also a copy of the of the messages here. Make sure it's all right. So now I get the messages. Let's just open the first one. If I load the message in this tool, you will see that the header has two entries. That's the first one, the session key encrypted with my real certificate. The other one is the encrypted with her with Dix's real certificate. So so it, again, if we go to her machine and we try to open the message, Outlook won't be able to get the real key to open decrypt the message. And so on this machine also, I have the derived derived key certificate for Dixie. So I'm going to browse here, and that's the Dixie's derived certificate. Corresponds to the key that she has on her device. And if I just view it, you will see that it's for Dixie. And if I do the header modification here, you would see that I now have three entries. Two are the original ones, and the last one is the new one that we just injected in the header. So let's just save that message. So I just overwrite that file. So I'm going to the file system here to copy it, assuming that's going to happen in the wire, and paste it here on Dix's machine, where she has the key, the drive key that she possesses on her device. So when try to open the message, now it opens successfully. Because now it has the session key encrypted with her derived certificate. So I think that's almost the demo, unless you have questions or something to show you other than that.
All right, guys. So thank you first. And so what he showed you is, I think, clear. What we did is we modified the header of the message to allow you to read the message or decrypt it with a different certificate than the original two certificates that were intended. Now, we apply it to drive credential, but you can apply it in a different scenario. But that's the concept, is I can modulate, I can adjust the header, inject in it an extra line that allow you to read it somewhere else. Go ahead. We only speak about encryption.
So in that case, why do you have to have a different certificate in your derived, the derived certificate different from your main cap or fifth cap certificate?
So there is several reasons why is that. So the main reason why we start with this, where is my, give me one second. So the main reason I was trying to find my BIF card. I don't know where I put it. All right. The main reason behind that is the smart card concept. So if you are speaking about soft certificate, yes, you can take it and put it in your phone, and there is no problem behind it. What's happening in trend, and I don't know how much familiar you are with the FIPS 201 and the smart card and the government?
We supply all the PCAPs to the US government.
Perfect. So inside, and I was hoping to show you that, inside the BIF card, there is the certificate has a policy attached to it. And there is several categories within that policy. One of those called medium hardware, and some of them called medium software. Medium software is level 3 and medium hardware is level 4. Some agency, when they generate their certificate, they tag it with medium, with level 3. Some they tag it with level 4. The ones they tag it with level 3, they are lucky because then they can recover that key and put it actually on their mobile device and they are done. The people that tag it with level 4, which is probably the bulk of the government agencies, they stuck because by policy they are not allowed to recover that key and put it on a smartphone because now they are violating the policy that they use to generate the key. So their option is either to massive generate every single BIF card and change the certificate protection level, or use something like our technology. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Which company you are from?
Oh,
okay. Depend on the policy when they tag it. So the policy allow them, if they tag it with level 4 policy, it has to live in a hardware. And if it because it's called medium hardware. Now, if the phone has a TBM, that is okay by policy. But if the phone does not have a TBM, then it become a software and that violate the policy. Which is trusted platform model. It's the encryption device. Some phones, I think Nokia is the only one right now that has that.
The chips are the device.
Yeah.
Still, so now I got that part. So because it's level 4, you can recover another hardware that meets your requirements.
Correct.
So you are saying that is the same key that is in the smart card, right? Then why do you need to hack the header and things like that? What would we be just the metal?
No, this one. Correct. So the way I recover it, I recover it in the HSM. And because I recover it on the HSM, on the back end, I am in compliance with the policy because I didn't take it to a soft, I took it from the CA, which protected by HSM, and I put it on another HSM. So I'm compliance from a policy perspective.
Okay.
Now, the reason I recover, I adjust the header, because you need to read it on your phone.
Yeah.
And on your phone, unless you have a way to read your smart card, then your only option is to read it on your computer.
No, I told you, I actually recovered that key from your backend server to a T or something.
No, I don't recover it. What I do, if you look at what on the picture here, so mobile decrypt, communicate with the key decryption service, and the key decryption service send back the mobile decrypt the session key. I don't decrypt the message. I only decrypt the session key so I can encrypt it again with the drive credential certificate. Does that make sense?
Maybe a little
bit. No. Not yet?
Maybe I will see your demo.
Good. Yeah, we stop by the booth.
Yeah,
we have a booth. All right, so any other questions? question or we are done?
There are no more questions. I think we can go to lunch.
Yeah, so you see, I gave you more time to lunch.
You've given us much more time. Thank you very much for
thank you.
The presentation.
Yes, you waved
you put it.
It
out from the...
Yeah, and then it disappeared. So that's why, let me put everything here.
Your wallet.
This, yeah. How are you?
For your presentation, it's my CAD issue.
Oh, okay, okay.
We're manufacturing all the PLAN CAD, and I was the one who designed the chip on the CAD, so I'm not familiar with that's possible.
Okay.
But I was interested in your solution. You know, we're just CAD manufacturing.
I know, we actually, the only in the government, Treasury is using us, IRS is using us, EA is using us, Criminal Investigation Division.
Oh, so it's already used by some agency in your solution?
Yeah, I'm not speaking about theory, I'm in use in some government agency. In the commercial, though, we have a different version that we sell, that all in one.
But isn't it easier for agencies, I mean? It's not goes against your business, but isn't it easier for them to issue the certificate with the electronic
protection? So yes and no. Let me tell you why I'm saying yes and no. Let me just put these here and come. Yeah, that's why I was looking. I said, what the heck, where I lost it? I put it in my... So the issue is not that.